Okay, are we on? Praise the Lord, we did something right this morning. Well, good morning, folks. Welcome to the Florida Regional Grace Conference. As Russ said, this has been 24 years, and we're delighted to see you today. We have some new folks this year, a lot of folks out there we know real well, and so it's real good to see you again. My message this morning is the power of the gospel, and I got a message for Brother Hal. I think he's coming up after me. He's supposed to preach at 10 o'clock. It ain't going to happen. So he'll get here sometime or another, but it won't be at 10 o'clock. I'm going to try to stay on some kind of a schedule. I'll get my watch out here so I can keep up with the time. And I'm starting 30 minutes late. So don't holler at me now when I go over 30 minutes. Get your Bible this morning and turn to Romans chapter 1. And the verse I've been assigned is Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. That's a verse all of you know real well. And there's a lot to be said about it that we're probably not going to cover today, because we're just going to do a very overview of the issue. Because the power of the gospel, or the power of God, or the power of Christ, is something another that's inexhaustible. There's no way to really cover all of it. But we do, again, want to welcome you to our services today, and also our folks on Pal Talk that's been joining us. We appreciate them joining in also. But Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the power, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power that is in your word this morning. It empowers us to do the things that you would have us to do. And we pray this morning, Lord, as we open up your word, that you will talk to us, that you will give us the assurance of all the things that we have in you. Because we realize today, Lord, that we are of all men most blessed. We have such a wonderful message today. It's just too bad that the world out there doesn't know what it is and doesn't seem to want to know. But thank you, Lord, for these that are faithful to come this morning, for the saints. And we pray, Lord, that we might join together in our study today and we might be edified by the studying of your word. And we'd be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake we pray. Amen. You know, you hear a lot of people quote this passage of Scripture, but they quote it with kind of the wrong attitude. If you know what I mean. Sometimes they quote it like, "Well, I'm so proud that I can do this and that and so forth," and that's not what the issue is about. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is a power of God unto salvation." So if we would define this morning what the power of God is, we'd have to say, well, it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't we? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." So the issue comes up like this then. Well, if the gospel of Christ is the power of God, what is the gospel of Christ? Now, we heard a real good message last night from Brother Richard, and we understand the issue that there is not just one gospel in the Bible, that there are more than one. There's only one gospel for us today. But as you read this passage of Scripture, we become, we approach the idea here that, well, what is the gospel of Christ? If there are two gospels, what is this gospel that Paul is talking about when he says it is the power of God? Well, it's a particular gospel that Paul preaches, and that's what we want to understand today. It's a gospel that Paul preaches. How many of you believe that the Apostle Paul preached two gospels? Anybody in here believe that? Well, you know, there's some people out there in the world that believe that. And they take this passage of Scripture right here and they say, well, you see there now, Paul preached the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so they say, well, then when Paul first got saved and he got his message, that he spent the first 20-25 years preaching to the Jews and then to the Greeks. Well, folks, that's not what that verse of Scripture says. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, He was announced by John the Baptist, and there was a good news about him. The nation of Israel was looking for him. And so there's the good news of Christ that's to the nation of Israel that has to do with the kingdom. That's not our messaging. That's not where the power's at. The gospel that Paul preaches is the gospel that you and I need to understand, and especially understand the great power involved with it. If you'll turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 18, and we're just going to go through some verses and try to identify exactly what do we associate with the power of the gospel today and what will it accomplish. The first thing we know is in our text there that the gospel of Christ today that's preached by the Apostle Paul brings you salvation. That is justification, deliverance from your sin and the penalty of sin. So there's something about that preaching that we need to identify. What exactly is it? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, in Romans 1, he says the gospel of Christ is the power of God. Here he says it's something else. What is it? It's the preaching of the cross. So to me, the preaching of the cross identifies the good news of Christ. The preaching of the cross. What happened on that cross 2,000 years ago is a backbone of the Apostle Paul's message, and that is the power of God. Christ, in essence, is the power of God. But we need to understand him as the Apostle Paul presents him. You know that Jesus Christ was presented earlier to the nation of Israel, and at that time, he couldn't go to the Gentiles. But when Paul comes along, he begins to preach this gospel, and it is to the Jews and to the Gentiles, it's to everybody. But it's a different gospel, it's a different message, and we need to understand that. And we need to understand how it will work in our lives today. Going down to verse 24 there in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." So now we've got the gospel of Christ is the power of God. We got the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And now in verse 24, we got Christ is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. Well, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, there's a great mystery concerning that so many people today don't seem to understand. In fact, recently we had the opportunity to preach a funeral. And the young man that his mother had just passed away, I was talking with him, and he made a statement. And he says, I had asked him, does he spend a lot of time studying the Word of God? And he said, no, but he says, I do know some things. And he says, I know this. Somebody told me the other day that Jesus Christ was God. And he says, I know better than that. So I proceeded to instruct him that he didn't know better than that. Who is Jesus Christ today, folks? Who is Jesus Christ? He is the great Jehovah God of heaven. Okay? He is the great Jehovah God of heaven. That's what makes him the power. You know, the Apostle Paul prayed so much for us today that we could understand who Jesus Christ really is. And only in his message do we have a complete, thorough definition of the fact that Jesus Christ is the great Jehovah God of heaven. I want you to turn over to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And I want you to notice something the Apostle Paul said, and it has to do with this issue about the issue of God and Christ being one and being the same. Now, a lot of things about that I don't understand, and we're not going to try to explain. We're just going to take a few verses to show you that actually that's what the case really is. Christ is God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Apostle Paul says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Notice Paul talks about their wanting that church at Colossae to be filled with all wisdom and knowledge and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Have you ever thought about what is the mystery of God? Well, you know, as I study the Apostle Paul's writings, I realize that there is a mystery concerning God that he defines for us that we don't find anyplace else. And it's part of the mystery that so many people today don't understand. And that is simply what we said earlier. that Jesus Christ is God. In Colossians chapter 1, back over just a page there, Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17, Paul says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Speaking of, again, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image. He is God to us today. When you want to know who God is today, you need to open up your Bible. You need to turn to the Pauline epistles, and you need to get Paul's definition of who God is, and we'll find that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we begin to understand what it is the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and I today as the members of the church, the body of Christ. That's the thing that will empower us to get started in our life, is an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He's not just a man that was born 2,000 years ago, as this young fellow told me. He had a beginning. He was born from Mary. Mary was his mother. No, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a beginning. He was right here, as we know, in the beginning with God. He created all things, and he did all things. The mystery of God is indeed Christ today to you and I. So when we preach the gospel of Christ, we need to make sure that we preach him that way and not as the king of Israel and so forth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul said this about the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what he says now in verse 19. To wit, or to know, as we would say today, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God was in Christ. I can't really fathom all that, but I know what the scripture says. And I know that when we really get right down to it and begin to understand something about the gospel of Christ, it's going to come down to the issue of that he is Jehovah God, and the power that you and I have today through that message comes directly from being associated with the great Jehovah God of heaven. Now we asked ourselves then, well, how exactly does Paul tell us how we're identified with that power, with the great God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that he did that the Apostle Paul would call the preaching of the cross that enables us to have this relationship with God? Well, I want you to turn back to the book of Romans. Everything seems to begin in the book of Romans, doesn't it? Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And we want to begin to look at how it is that we have this access to get this power of God. And it begins by what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 21 down through verse 26. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Paul says, but now, and you understand when he starts that off, he's telling you that there's something that's changed. It's something different now than what it was. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. I want to stop there for just a second. We're talking about the manifestation of the righteousness of God. How do we obtain to the righteousness of God, or how do we get that today? So he identifies the way it is like this. It's by faith of Jesus Christ. Now your new Bibles change that and make it something else. But we know that the only way it'll work doctrinally is if you understand today that your righteousness today is imputed to you from God. It is not something that you earned or something that you get. When you trust the faithful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read that verse of scripture where it says, by faith of Jesus Christ, I immediately ask myself, what did he have to be faithful to that I could trust and believe in? You know, you really can't have faith in somebody unless you know a little something about them, can you? And so we've got to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to know what it is he's done. And the scriptures tell us what faith he had. He was faithful to the death of the cross. He died on the cross for you and me today. He was faithful to that. So now I can believe that. And it's unto all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, they come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross through God Almighty was to redeem us today. That is to buy us out of that sinful condition that we're in and give us and impute to us the righteousness of God. Verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Notice now Paul describes how it is that the great God of heaven is satisfied so that you and I can have that righteousness. How is God satisfied? That word propitiation means to be satisfied. Well, it's through faith. Faith in what? And this is the word that really is the issue with understanding the preaching of the cross. It's the blood. It's the blood. Many people today, and even the new Bibles in some places, leave out the blood. When we leave out the blood, we leave out the power. We leave out the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross to redeem you and I today. We leave out that work that satisfies all the justice of God, as you heard Pastor Jordan talking about last night. You know, God is so righteous and so just that he can't just say, okay, I'll just save you and do it. No, he can't do that. His justice has to be satisfied. Something had to be done. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that. He did it all for you and I. So the way that you and I look at things today about the Lord Jesus Christ is to look at the cross and look at the shedding of the blood and the resurrection from the dead. That's where the power is going to come for you and I today. You can go out and preach the gospel all you want to and tell people to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Invite Jesus into your heart and all these different cliches that people use today. And I'll tell you what, when you go out today in the world and you listen to other people preach and you go to funeral services or you go to weddings where you expect someone to give a little bit of the gospel, you don't hear it at all today. In fact, in the greatest preaching you hear today, you don't hear too much today about the blood and about the issue of just your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was faithful and he shed that blood. He paid a tremendous price for you and I. We sing that song, there's power in the blood. Truly, there is today. So when we're going to preach the gospel of Christ, it's got to be that gospel that Paul preaches, not the gospel that was preached before the Apostle Paul, because that won't save today. There's no power there. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We want to go through just a few verses to understand this issue. You can't leave out the blood because that's where the power is at. That's the price that was paid to be able to save us from our sins. Paul says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's not just the issue of his blood paying for your sins, folks, but past sins, future sins, all of your sins, and delivering you from the wrath that's going to come today. If you're not saved today, I would like to suggest to you that it's a good time to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because the wrath is coming. And when the church, the body of Christ, is gone, you're not going to have the message of the gospel of grace of God. And even if you did have it, you would reject it, I believe, if you don't trust now when you can. We need to trust that, because that's where the power is at, and that wonderful message of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, and this is a verse that some of the new Bibles like to mess up and leave out. But notice what Paul says, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, in whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now you see, because it's his blood and because it's his work, he can call it grace. Did you know if it's anything that you got to do, it can't be grace? If you said this morning that I believe Jesus Christ did all these things, but I must walk down here and kneel down and pray and ask God to forgive me, or I must raise my hand, or I must do anything, you've done away with grace. I thank God this morning for His grace, because the more I study the Word of God, the more I understand that I need grace. I don't need any kind of performance system. I would fail miserably. And probably you feel the same way, don't you? God's grace is the thing that gives us the power through the shed blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14 is a companion scripture to that. All of you know this, but let's read it anyway. The power's in the Word, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, if Jesus Christ redeemed us through His blood, does that mean that He purchased you? Does that mean today that the Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty own you? Do you ever think about that? That you're owned by somebody? Well, notice what Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Let's look at this idea of redeeming you by His blood. What does that really accomplish today? And if you leave it out, what you're missing? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." The church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Are you a member of that church today? Are you part of the body of Christ? Now, maybe you don't know whether or not you are, but let me tell you this. If you're saved this morning, you have been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood paid for you. That's the only thing that has the power to do it, because you have no other power source to get into the body of Christ. But the moment that you trusted Him, He baptized you into the body of Christ. He identified you with Himself so that now you belong to Him. So think about that. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have access to Him anytime. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that is a tremendously powerful thing. To be able to access the great God of heaven anytime that I want to, I can call Him Abba Father, just like His Son did. It's because He owns me, because He bought me, He paid for me. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Paul says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I belong to God today. I'm His. And because of that, I have access to all that is His. I have access to that great power today. When I read the Word of God, I get the idea that to Him, I'm a dear son and a dear child of His. Do you feel that way? I hope you do. And if you don't, I hope that you'll continue to study the Word of God till you get to that point where you really understand that you are His child, you are His son, because He bought you, not because anything you did. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 describes, again, as Brother Jordan was talking about last night, the issue of us being His children today, near and dear to Him, because He paid that price. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Again, we can't emphasize it too much that it's the blood of Christ. It's the blood of Christ. The preaching of that cross. It was because of that preaching of the cross that the Apostle Paul had so many problems and he was hated by so many people, because they denied the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They denied that He was the Messiah. They didn't like to hear that. But that was the great message today that is so wonderful to us. The more you hear that great message, the more you understand the grace of God. But you know, one day out there in the future, Israel is going to understand this thing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, even though we say it was shed for us today in the body of Christ and anybody can be a member of it, it still has a direct reference to the nation of Israel out there in the future. And they understood something about that blood. The writer of Hebrews is going to explain it to them when the body of Christ is gone. And they will understand that issue of that power and so forth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, he says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Just as surely as you and I today as a member of the body of Christ have been justified and sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it applies to that nation of Israel as well, and one day they will understand that. One more verse there to just clarify this fact that it applies to the nation of Israel as well as you and I. And I'm not talking about to the Jew today in the body of Christ, but I'm talking about the nation of Israel out there in the future. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. He says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That covenant that God said he would make with the nation of Israel one day is through that blood. The scripture tells us that without the shedding of the blood there is no remission. There is no hope outside of that. So when people today say, well, I'm preaching Jesus Christ, I'm preaching his love, I'm preaching all this kind of stuff like this for you today, and leave out the blood or leaving out the power. God Almighty is the power. Come back to Romans chapter 1 again in our text. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The preaching of the Apostle Paul, that message that we love today, the good news of Christ, is a mystery. And it's too bad that it is still a mystery to so many people today. We should say it like this: the preaching of the Apostle Paul was a mystery, and everybody understands it now. Well, it has been made known. But the problem is that the devil has done such a masterful job of blinding the minds of so many people today. You know who your greatest contestant is when you're out here battling for souls? It's Satan. He has his ministers and he has a message. And what he does is he takes the word of God, but he leaves out some here and he leaves out some there. And he deceives people into thinking, oh, I'm saved because I did what the Bible says. But the message of the Apostle Paul is where the power's at. And if you leave that out today, you leave out the power. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, we need to understand something about that power. We know that the Apostle Paul, as an apostle, had power to do some things. He chose sometimes to not use that power for a particular reason. But we also know something about that power and about the power structure and how it shifts today. And I want to show that to you. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, Paul says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. It was the effectual working of the power of God that called the Apostle Paul, that made him a minister, and bestowed upon him the understanding of that grace of God, that gift of grace. And the Apostle Paul was faithful. You know, sometimes you should sit down and just think about and try to visualize in your mind what it would be like to be Saul of Tarsus, to be a religious man, and then all of a sudden find out that the very person that you were against was the very person you thought you were worshiping. And then to go out into a world that never heard anything about the mystery before, that never heard anything about, all you have to do is believe and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved. How do you figure most people reacted to that? Not well. Can you imagine all the things that man had to suffer? And yet God was with him. God was with him even when he was stoned to death. God raised him up. through his great power, because God wanted this message today to be brought out. And God has the power to do that through his word. But also, I know something else. God wants you and I to be empowered. He wants you and I to be empowered. In verse 20, Paul says this same place, Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Did it take power to do that? Oh boy, it does. According to the power that worketh in who? Us. The power of God will work in you. When you take in the word of God and you let it live in you, it will effectually work in your life to produce justification in people as you communicate the right message. But folks, you can give all kind of gospel cliches and stuff, it won't work. You can convert people to all kind of crazy things today and build big churches, but it's not the church of God. It's not the body of Christ. It's not what God's doing. We must stay in this message. We must preach the gospel of Christ that the Apostle Paul preached. We must use his power. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul challenges us with this at the end of this epistle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what you need. You need the power of God that equipped you to stand against the devil today. I heard someone say today, well, you didn't have to worry about the devil. He really wasn't here today. God had him bound up and stuff. I'll tell you, nothing could be farther from the truth. He's alive and well, and he's doing a great job. And if you had to fight against him, you wouldn't last 10 seconds if God Almighty wasn't on your side. If you didn't put on the armor of God, if you didn't take that word and stand with that. In verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We can be empowered with the word of God that the Apostle Paul preaches. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 through 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 10. Paul says this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That's the way you have to start out. Give up these things of the world today, and you have to consider it loss. Verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You see in all that a perfect identification that Paul wants with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know him, all about him. I want to act like I should in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come back to Colossians chapter 1 again and look at Paul's prayer concerning that very issue. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. I submit to you, if you want to write down a prayer today for the church, for you as a member of the church, the body of Christ, remember that this is a good one. Paul says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You see, Paul's desire is for you to be fruitful in every good work. Has to be based on the truth again. But then also increasing in the knowledge of God. Some folks today learn a little bit about the Bible, and then they lay it down and they go on. I know how to live now. I know how to do what I should do. But you know, you never ever get all of it. We need to continue to take in the Word of God. You need to be filled with it. so that we might be able to have that power in our life and might be able to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. When we preach the gospel of Christ and we preach it correctly, it goes forth in power. Not you, but it goes forth in power. The power is in the message, in the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said this about the church at Thessalonica. He talked about how the gospel came to them. And he says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So as we go forth with the gospel of Christ, it will do the job. I remember some years ago I was in a church, and they like to teach what they call soul winning classes. And they like to teach you how to use what they call tactics. How you could set down a person and tell them this and this and this, and you could get them all lined up just like you wanted them to, so that they would respond the way you wanted them to. They wanted to hear something. They wanted to hear a professional faith and so forth. Well, the Lord is the one that gives the invitation. He gives it through His Word. And His Word is what has the power to call you. His Word calls you. The gospel calls you, not you and your tact or your fancy words or anything like that. We have no power other than the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word that lives in us. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, Paul says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Power to not be ashamed. That's the power so many people are lacking today. And if you could just get it in your mind that, hey, it's not you and it's not what you say, but it is what the Word of God says, and you give that. That will do the job. And that will bring you to that point. Come back to Romans chapter 1, to our text. That will give you the ability to go out and do some things that a lot of people won't do today, because, unfortunately, the very thing Paul said in Romans chapter 1 there, and in that passage in 2 Timothy, prevails in too many people's lives today. And that is, they don't have this issue settled, that the power is in the Word. They think that they must do something. And because of that, they are ashamed to give the gospel when they have the opportunity. Why? We feel like sometimes we're going to be rejected, or we feel like this and that and the other. For whatever reason, we're ashamed of the gospel. Of course, that's not really my message, is it? In the morning at 9 o'clock, we have a young man that's going to come and to bring us a message entitled, "I'm Not Ashamed." Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for another day of Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You for Your great love for us. We thank You for all that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that You would bless our ministries and use us for Your honor and Your glory. And help us, Lord, to never be ashamed of all the things that we have in You. We know, Lord, that if we will stay in Your Word and let it live in us, it will create the power to overcome all these problems and things that we are confronted with in life. Thank You again for the time that we've had to be with the folks here in the conference. And we pray, Lord, that You continue to be with each one of the speakers this morning. And may we be blessed through Your Word. And we'll be careful to give You all the praise, for we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His sake we pray. Amen.